I have spent most of my life as a Democrat. I recently have seen fit to follow another course. I believe that the issues confronting us cross party lines.
Mr. Gorbachev, tear down this wall.
One of my favorite quotations about age comes from Thomas Jefferson. He said that we should never judge a president by his age, only by his work. And ever since he told me that, I've stopped worrying.
Ronald Reagan never looked like he was worrying much. That's, of course, the 40th president of the United States. The 40th is 100. Up-and-coming politician in 64, speaking out against the Berlin Wall in 1987 and on the presidential campaign trail, Ronald Reagan was a political figure who towered over the latter part of the 20th century. And his own son, Ron Reagan, wasn't fully sure of the complexities and depth of his dad's story until he set out to learn more about him, and his research led to a new memoir just in time for his father's centennial birthday next month. It's called My Father at 100. Ron Reagan, son of a president, also a media star in his own right, joins us from Washington, D.C. Ron Reagan, it's great to talk to you again.
John, thanks for having me.
It's great that you did this. I'm thinking about the State of the Union address tonight. You know, what perspectives can you offer as a presidential son who at certain times seemed distant from the White House experience and then at other times seemed very close to the White House experience?
Perspective on the State of the Union?
Was it a big deal? Was it something how did I do, Ron, kind of thing?
Yeah, he'd always seek out my approval for this sort of thing. Well, it is a big event, of course, and I'm looking forward to hearing the president's speech tonight. I suppose one thing he one takeaway that he might have from my father's administration is that however willing my father might have been to compromise on various things to get things done, that rhetorically speaking, he was always pretty much straight ahead. You knew where he stood.
And, you know, there was a quality to Ronald Reagan. I was thinking about this morning, realizing I was going to talk to you once again. You know, your father portrayed himself in the White House, and unique in my lifetime, as an individual who did the job effortlessly, who had a confidence that came not necessarily from just traditional confidence, but from an idea that he didn't necessarily obsessively want the job like your Lyndon Johnson or your Bill Clinton, who was born to be president. That makes people a little bit nervous. Being a kind of effortless president gave Americans confidence at a perfect time in history.
Yeah, that's true. That, I think, speaks to his character, what I refer to in the book as the 90% versus the 10%. The 90%, of course, being what everybody sees in public, and that we, his family, would see around the dinner table at night. What you saw was what you got. However, there was a more privately held 10%, I think, in which, among other things, he harbored his very real ambition. This ambition, any personal ambition he would see as unworthy, so that's why he kept that private. Yeah. he wanted to be president for other people, not for himself. Right. But you're right that he did not pursue a career in politics, from an early age. He was interested in politics, but he didn't have that kind of bug that a lot of politicians do, where from the earliest possible age they're running for president.
I'm wondering if you could comment on this irony. I mean, while it might be reassuring to Americans at a particular time in history to have a president who projected a certain effortlessness, to be an effortless father in a certain sense might be frustrating to a son.
It could be. It could be. Nothing is effortless, of course. Being president isn't ever, even when you're Ronald Reagan, being president Right. isn't effortless. And, of course, being a father is never effortless. I think sometimes it was a bit frustrating to him because, of course, family can be a tougher audience than a crowd, an anonymous crowd, when you're giving a speech.
Particularly
my father
you.
Always thought that, if he had 5 minutes alone with anybody, he could convince them of his point of view. And I think it was endlessly frustrating to him that at least some of his offspring didn't seem to be vulnerable to his persuasion.
So as your father was president, I imagine, and this book sort of describes it to a certain extent, that there was a transformation from this is a totally amazing turn of events to this is a bit of a burden to, hey, this is a real opportunity. I mean, I'm reminded that you were on Saturday Night Live during during one of the years your dad was president.
That's true. I mean, that's an opportunity, of course, and it was a lot of fun to do. Of course, there are more meaningful opportunities, and that is to talk with somebody who's engaged in some of the major issues of the day. Not that I had any sway over these things, but nevertheless, being at the Geneva summit, for instance, or there during the Iran-Contra blow up, you are an eyewitness to history at times, and that's a thrill.
What's the contrast like of being the eyewitness to history in one moment and playing Tom Cruise on Saturday Night Live in a memorable moment in its own right?
Well, I mean, those two things can coexist pretty easily, as it turns out. I think the other transition you have to make is watching your father as president, I mean, who's meeting with a Soviet prime minister or whatever it might be. And then at the same time, at one and the same time, realizing this is my dad. I understood that he was president of the United States, but to me, he was always just dad. Dad was playing president now.
Did your father understand you as a son, how you were reacting to this experience, or was he mystified by you at certain points?
Oh, I think probably mystified at certain points, as I was occasionally mystified by him. He was one of the most affable men on the face of the earth. You couldn't have asked for a friendlier guy, and yet you were aware that there was a certain distance there, not a coldness, not at all, but again that 10% that he would keep to himself, that even my mother would confess that she couldn't always penetrate. So that was the that was the difference.
What do you make of all these conservatives evoking your dad? Do you say, they got it right, or do you say, you folks have no idea what you're talking about?
Well, a lot of people seem to be of a mind to speak for him these days and apply whatever he might have said 20, 30 years ago to events today. I think it's fair enough if you want to say that he was a generally low-tax, small-government kind of guy, and I'm sure he would be that today. But when you start talking about specific policy initiatives, these are very different times, and I would like to think that he would change with the times. I don't speak for him. Address issues from the perspective of what would Ronald Reagan think today. It's a little like constitutional originalism. It's sort of, it's a nice argument to have for historians, but it doesn't really have any bearing on anything right now.
Last few seconds, Ron Reagan. Would your dad Twitter?
No.
No?
No, and neither do I.
Would he blog?
He might blog because really? He was a very good writer.
Yeah.
But no, tweeting, I think, would be beyond him.
For a lot of us as well. Ron Reagan, political commentator, but I haven't been tweeting at all today, so in that sense, I'm just like your dad. Ron Reagan, political commentator, son of President Ronald Reagan, author of the new book, My Father at 100. Thanks so much.
Thank you, John.
Celeste Headlee will be back tomorrow. We're going to be having full coverage of the State of the Union address, which is tonight, from Barack Obama at the White House or on Capitol Hill there. I'm John Hockenberry. This is The Takeaway.